call, please.
Richard Crocker?
Here.
Richard Hawkinson?
Here.
Gary Mattson?
Here.
Dave Parker?
I'm here.
And William Thomas?
Here.
We do have a quorum.
We do have a quorum.
Thank you. Let's move to the next item, a call to the audience. Mr. Coffey is here, and instead of reading everything, he told me you wish to speak to us.
Not this time.
Thank you. Okay. So with that, we'll go to the council liaison comments. And this is from information only.
I don't have much to provide you, but people are asking me how we've done in the last few storms, whether we've had people abandoned in cars or washed through down washes, and I didn't have the information. So if I hear that, I can provide it at the next council meeting.
I would like to respond to that quickly. The only thing of significance that I'm aware of, we did have some folks trapped at the Catalina State Park this weekend. Mm-hmm. About 300 people were trapped behind the CDO wash, which cuts directly through the main driveway. So anybody that's recreated over there during monsoon season, well aware of what the potential is.
Okay.
There's no damage.
No injury.
No injuries. They just cannot get out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Green. The next item is the director's report, again, for information only. We're not supposed to have a discussion, but if we have a question or two, I'm sure we can answer.
I've got a couple of things for you guys today. First, a recap of the 2022 rainfall. We had upwards of 15 inches recorded over by the Big Wash and CDO confluence that's over by the In-N-Out Burger. That is north of 15 inches recorded this year. At the low end, we recorded just over 11 inches up at Rancho Viscoso. We've got a rain gauge up over there by the Viscoso Preserve. That recorded just over 11 inches. From my perspective, both of those numbers are above what we've been tracking for average rainfall the last 10 years, which is hovering around 9 inches. So when we look at 2021 and 2022, both of those are above average rainfalls. Okay. And as I've been reporting to you guys, no significant damage, no deaths. There's been a few swift water rescues at Overton and the CDO. But all in all, we handled that volume of water tremendously. So I'm happy to report that Mount Lemmon saw almost 50 inches of rain last year. Previously, they were at 48 inches in 2021. So, again, seeing significant amounts of rainfall, which will help, again, bolster our groundwater resources. It helps the plants grow, which does cause us some concern for fires. We've been coordinating with the National Weather Service and the Forest Service. They're looking at doing burn backs already to prevent a larger forest fire from happening again. So they're already aware of the potential, and they're trying to make plans to mitigate that effort. So those are all good things. I also want to recognize our newest stormwater utility commissioner, Richard Hawkinson. He was approved last night at the town council meeting. Richard has served on this commission previously, in addition to working for the stormwater utility. So Rich brings a bevy of stormwater quality experience back to the commission here. So we welcome him back. I'll have a more formal recognition at next month, but we wanted to verify that you're actually going to get approved. So I thank the town council and Richard for volunteering yet again. And that's all I have for right now.
Thank you, Mr. Spiker. So we will go to agenda item one, review and approval of the November minutes.
I was here. You have me down as absent. I came 5 minutes late, but I was here. I wanted to harass Joe before he left.
Oh, okay. We will have to change that then.
We can
make
that correction.
Want to maintain my perfect attendance. So I get my little gold star.
Well, Gary actually raised his hand, which is preferred. Yeah. Are there any other comments on the minutes? If not, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
May I have a second?
Second.
I'm going to interject there before we go. We have asked for a change. So
change,
what we're approving
correction.
Is the minutes with
the
correction to
yes.
Thank you.
Modify Gary's attendance.
Vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you. So, agenda item 2 is discussion of meeting events. And Mr. Spiker, please proceed with the staff comments.
Appreciate that, Chair and Commission members. You guys can see on the screen here, also attached to the agenda, is a list of some of the upcoming events. Particular of note here, I want to turn your guys' attention to next week's Wilson K-8 STEAM Outreach event. So we've done this event in previous years. We team up with our water utility department and go out to the Wilson K-8 school, talk to the kids. We're going to be talking about the water cycle, some water conservation, water quality issues. We've got a really neat little board that demonstrates how pollutants can make their way down from the top of the mountain and find their way down into little basins, channels here in town. So it's a pretty neat opportunity to talk to little kids about how drainage works and how our waters can get polluted and the importance of the water that we do have here. Everybody knows water resources are getting more and more scarce, although I did hear about a desalinization plant in Rocky Point that seems to be making progress.
Oh, sweet.
That would be of interest to our water utility, but nonetheless a great opportunity to push our messages out to the younger group. So that will help us satisfy part of our ADEQ requirements, but that's an awful interesting one here. I also want to put in another plug for the volunteer appreciation dinner. Gary Masson joined me for that particular event, and the town goes all out. It's a really fun event to recognize your efforts, really, is what that's for. So look for that again later in 2023, but I encourage you guys all to go and have dinner on the town. It's really a fun event. And that's all I really have for meetings and events. Thank you.
Mr. Spiker, thank you. Now we go to agenda item 3, nomination and election of the Stormwater Utility Commission Chair.
I move to nominate Richard Crocker for chairman of the committee.
I'll second that.
Thank you. I accept. Do we have any other nominations? We do not. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None? So moved. Thank you for your confidence.
Thank you for accepting the nomination.
Yes, I do have to. You do have to accept.
Yes, you can say no.
I have a prompt. I may be in and out of the hospital this next year, so that's why I still have. So I'm a little concerned that I won't be here to attend everything.
Okay.
I have some medical issues that I have.
Let's move into that second agenda item.
Okay. That concludes that part. So let's move to agenda item 4, which is the Stormwater Utility Commission Vice Chair, effective.
I move to nominate William Thomas as the Vice Chair of the Stormwater Utility Commission.
I was too slow.
Lucky you.
I was going to say Dave.
Second.
Thank you, Richard.
And do you accept the nomination?
With the understanding that I may miss the meeting, so I'd be happy to support.
Okay, great. Are there any other nominations? Not doubtful. Okay, so I learned how this commission works. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And so moved.
Should be aware you are in the military, right? Yeah, we keep our heads down as much as possible.
Okay, so with that, this is a fast-moving meeting today. So we'll move to agenda item 5, the discussion of the 2022-2023 MS4 compliance schedule. Mr. Spiker, please proceed.
Thank you, Chairman, and I do agree this meeting is moving along rapidly.
Yes.
So, as part of our MS4 permit, which is the Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System permit, through the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, we are obligated to do an annual report to those folks. But in the interest of the commission and the general public, we like to do quarterly updates just to make sure we're on track with our tasks. These associated tasks are relating to our minimum control measures 1 through 6, as depicted in our stormwater management plan. So we are on track to meet our year goals here. Our outreach events next week will certainly help us with that. But in the previous quarter here, things of note, we were able to collect a stormwater sample. This is the first one the town has collected. The outfall we collected it from is over off of Bushview Lane near Oracle Road, coming out of the apartment complexes over there. There are designated outfalls that we are supposed to sample from. We are required to get 3 stormwater samples in a 5-year reporting period, but this is the first opportunity that the town's had to collect a sample and send it over to our consulting lab for analyzation. We did have some comments back on how we collected the sample and transmitted it back to the lab, so they've given us some opportunities to correct that process a bit, but we felt pretty good about our first sample. We did get the results back, I believe, about a week ago. We didn't necessarily know what it meant, so we partnered up with the water utility, who's constantly doing this type of analyzation. We don't see any pollutants that have gone beyond the allowable thresholds or allowable limits. So we've gotten a pretty clean bill of health from the lab. We did talk with ADEQ a bit, asking how to upload those results to their webpage so they can go in and analyze that. But it looked really clean from our perspective. Obviously not quite tap water clean, but we really only had 2 pollutants even show a measurable amount. And those were so insignificant that they're not causing us any concern. So we do have 2 more samples we need to collect, but we've got 3 more years to do so. So we feel really good about where we're at today. The costs were right in line with what we anticipated. I think we budgeted roughly $1,000 per sample. The cost came back about $800. So fairly cheap, quick turnaround time, and the results are very positive in our favor. So again, we feel really good about that. But we've got a few more samples to collect. But again, I like where we're at today. We're still doing our asset inspections, our stormwater pollution prevention inspections. Those all seem to be in order. We're doing our education and our outreach. So again, I want to demonstrate here we're on track to meet our yearly goals as of quarter 2. Any questions from the commission?
When you have blanks, that doesn't necessarily mean they were not met. It just means they could be annual and they'll be met later in the year.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Some of these are a once a year opportunity. Some of them are ongoing, but the reasons for some of the blanks are we haven't completed those tasks yet. But we do anticipate being able to complete those by year's end. The reporting year is September to September, which is a bit odd. That's when the reports are due. Traditionally, Commissioner Hawkinson has asked to review those, and I will encourage all of you guys to analyze our yearly reports and provide some feedback should you have any for us. But you know, we won't see that annual report till post-summer. Commissioner Hawkinson?
No, please. Go ahead.
So, Director Spiker, just a quick question. On the pollutants you did see, was there anything that stood out at all, or could you have a kind of a breakdown of what was found, petroleum or pesticides or anything of that type?
We do have the breakdown, and I can make that available to you, Commissioner Thomas. I don't have that off the top of my head. But
no, that's fine.
We only saw 2 known pollutants, and they're not necessarily labeled as petroleum. It's the chemical makeup behind it. And I apologize off the top of my head.
No, that's fine.
But I can make that available.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Commissioner Hawkins.
Along the same lines, what main groups of constituents did you analyze for?
That was provided by the state, by DEQ. They provided the list of pollutants to measure against. So that list was provided to the lab, who then did the sampling for us.
Yeah.
But again, I can make those constituents available to you guys so you can see what it is we're actually testing for.
Mm.
Yeah, it might be interesting to have a little summary handout of the results at a future meeting. And I presume the lab that you're using, since probably was based on the recommendations from state agencies, is a EPA certified lab?
They are. And this is a lab our water utility has been using. It's called Legend Labs. There's only a couple of certified labs in town, and Legend is one of them, who we already had an existing contract with, so it made it a lot easier for us. Yeah. But, they are a qualified, certified lab, so that certainly helps keep us in the good graces of the state.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate to have them in town, because we actually have to drive the samples over to their office to deliver them. So if we were a smaller entity in the middle of nowhere, that becomes problematic to get these samples completed and done. So certainly, Commissioner Hawkinson and I will make those results available along with the testing requirements from the state, so you guys can see those.
Who tracks the results of what the individual groups get back, like Oro Valley, against the quality control data that the lab has to provide?
ADEQ is responsible for that. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Spiker. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to agenda item 6, which is discussing the potential stormwater utility future budget.
Bear with me for a moment as I bring these agenda items up. I did print out the 4 attachments that you saw in the agenda item, 3 budget scenarios, as well as a timeline. I will let you know we have encountered an error on our spreadsheets.
Uh-oh.
So we're still going to walk through them because the philosophy behind the change is still valid. But I do need to remind you guys that there is an error, and we're going to bring these back to you guys next month again. But the spirit or philosophy behind these particular scenarios is still valid. So what I want to do is start where we left off in November, which was the recommendation to use a flat rate fee. You don't want a variable increase. You didn't want a one-year giant increase. We wanted to see that flat rate increase here. We also liked the recommendation that we would be receiving outside funding, that the stormwater utility wouldn't be on our own. Due to the historic nature of us receiving grant funds, working with our partners at Kane County Flood Control, working with our state partners, we find that to be more of a reality than not. So we've gone and taken that scenario 3 that we did represent in November to you guys, and that's what you're seeing on the screen here. We had an increase to $5.65, which represented about a 26% increase. We did make one correction on this particular sheet from November, and that was to spin down the construction project, Sierra Wash at Huron. We got some estimates back from some contractors. We had been budgeting about $500,000 for that particular project. The cost came in about $200,000. Eventually it came in under that, but we wanted to make sure we had sufficient coverage to land that project. So we spun that down to $200,000 to mimic what we believe is reality. The information at the top here in yellow under revenues does represent grant funding coming into the town to cover 2 more Sierra Wash projects in the future, as well as the Highlands Mobile Home Park. So we're showing grant funding coming into the town to take care of those. Those do not represent all of the available outside funding sources available to us, but those are the ones we put applications for and been ranked. So we do feel pretty good about receiving those monies. Just don't know when. That is painful from a financial perspective, not knowing when the money might be coming in. These projects are necessary for us. I wouldn't say they're critical, but they are very important, particularly at the Highlands Mobile Home Park. We know there's an issue there. We really want to try to overcome that for those residents. So nonetheless, we're starting with scenario three, and we put together two more scenarios based upon that, which I will bring up here. So I've tried to play with some very round numbers here. Most people are akin to working by quarter, so I thought that seemed like a reasonable place to start. The first scenario three alternative here is increasing our current rate of $4.50 per equivalent residential unit per month, increasing that by $1.25, which would land us at $5.75 a month. We're still assuming we're bringing in grant money. We left the $200,000 for the current phase of Sierra Wash. I did highlight what we would be doing with that additional revenues. So as Commissioner Parker had asked at the November meeting, are our maintenance numbers appropriate? Can we be using more? Do we need more? So we do owe you those trends for maintenance costs. I want to show you guys what we've been spending. We don't have that information this month, but we can provide it at a future date. So I've loaded up additional culvert cleaning via a contractor. The reason we're using contractors, we don't have any specialized equipment to get into the smaller culverts. Not that we couldn't do it by hand with shovels. That's awfully time consuming, and it takes our operations folks away from their primary duties. So utilizing a specialized contractor who has that equipment is what we've kind of loaded up into here. Previously, we had spent about $20,000 or earmarked $20,000 per year for culvert cleaning. Realistically, that's only going to get us about two or three culverts. That's not a lot. And we've got hundreds of culverts all across the town here, so cranking that number up seems to be appropriate. If we're going to ask for more money, that would be an area I would desire to have a little bit more money placed for. Again, even $50,000, that's not going to get us all that far. But as you see, we keep spreading this out, and over a period of 5 to 10 years, you can make a pretty big dent into our culvert assets. So that's certainly an area we can utilize more funding. The contractors are available. We would utilize a cooperative contract that the town of Moran has with a specific contractor who does this on a daily basis. So the procurement mechanisms in place, we just need to visualize how much money we realistically need per year. So we got to go back and look at that annual maintenance trends and see if we can pinpoint a realistic number, which would then go back to the funding increase or the stormwater fee increase. So that's what this particular scenario represents. You can also see we've loaded something up, storm sewer assessment. You're marking about $150,000 for that. This represents our underground storm drain systems that we cannot inspect. We haven't really put eyeballs on. We've got some storm drains 40 years old that we've never looked at. So we would like to take some additional money and hire a consultant firm with cameras to go down into those sewer systems and camcord or record the conditions of our underground assets. Now, I want to make a distinction between a culvert and a storm drain system. Culverts typically going under roads, you can get to either side and you generally look through them and get a fairly good assessment of their condition. We're talking about the storm drains that are hundreds of feet long under a parking lot. that, again, you can't realistically go into without specialized equipment, popping manholes, getting somebody down, and setting a camera through. So that's what that particular line item represents. So those are the changes we would look at using additional funding for. And I'm not going to bother to look at the reserves because there is a bust in the numbers here, but our intent is to stay above that 15% requirement for reserve funding set forth by our Chapter 15.4 code. Chairman
Crocker. The storm sewer, are those solely town-owned ones? You said under parking lots and stuff, or are they connect? I don't quite understand the system sometimes. Like, some of our neighborhoods have private storm sewers, but the commercial places, is it solely town property, I guess, is what I'm asking.
That's what we're intending to do, is only public storm sewer systems. We are not about to go down and analyze everybody's private storm sewer system. Although I'm sure they would like us to, that's not what the intent of the storm.
So if something's under the marketplace, that is private, it's not town, or could it be?
It could be either. Okay. It depends on the plat and how it was designated during the platting process. Similar to channels, we have public and private, and there's not necessarily a rhyme or reason as to why we get dedicated or the other. So we've got a pretty good handle on what storm sewer systems we are responsible for and which ones are private. But this line item in particular does relate to public systems.
Thank you.
I have two questions.
Yes,
and it's tied to the budgetary, you know, projections and everything.
Yes.
First question I have is, what is the matching of grants? What is the matching formula that please? Is it 75-25 or is it 50-50? That's number one. Because that, by understanding that, then I would, and the inflationary cost, what is your estimated inflationary cost for material maintenance? Up till recently, and I'm going back a year ago, because that was in one of those nice technical books, it was 2 to 3% that was being used. And that was being really, really ridiculously liberal. Since the past 18 months, now it's jumped up anywhere between 7 and 10%.
Correct.
Okay? So what have you used? Have you used an inflationary cost of, say, 7% for material costs? And if so, then that would estimate the rising cost on that side, which then creates a problem, let's say a gap, okay, in the matching. Because if the feds or the state still uses the old matching formula, we have to assume we have to somehow put that into our assessment fee so that we're covering that to break even on that aspect of the project. So if we have like one, scenario one, we might be really on a shortfall, which would cause us to be further delayed back, and that'll just kind of, you know, build up over time. And I was looking at the differences of even raising the fee another 25 cents per month or 50 cents per month. It's not that much. To protect ourselves from that in the long run, say 4 years down the road. Otherwise, we might find ourselves in a serious shortfall. Now, I'm talking from a budgetary perspective.
Let me address the first question that you had, Commissioner Mattson. So for the three grant funds that we've applied for, two of them are a 90-10.
Well, that's match. Nice.
It's outstanding. And one of those is the Highlands Wash Mobile Home Park. That is on a 90-10 split.
Wow. Really?
So we're asking for roughly $4 million. The feds would be paying 90% of that. It's a great deal. You rarely see that kind of
not
split.
Not anymore, that's true.
One of the Sierra Wash projects at Via Mandarina is also a 90-10 split. So we certainly like that. The third Sierra Wash project at Glover is at a 75-25 split. or match, however you want to consider that. Those Sierra Wash projects, again, they pale in comparison to the mobile home park. But we have put money into the expenses to cover those matches. As you'll see down toward the bottom here, we're estimating $442,750. But we're looking at the Sierra Wash construction projects. We loaded up as three separate projects here.
I see it's down here.
So we've got one project this fiscal year, one project next fiscal year, and one project the following fiscal year. So as we go up and look at the grant funding associated with that, 210, 234. So there's a significant shortfall. Well, why is that? That leads us into your second question, Commissioner Mattson. Are we projecting inflation increases?
Reasonably.
I believe you guys had brought that up in November. Mm-hmm. So we have spun our numbers up a bit to both capture inflation increases, to capture labor cost increases, and to capture material cost increases. Now, those are just projections. We don't know what they'll be until we bid them, but we do know they're increasing, and we need to budget for that. So Amy and myself have spun these numbers up a little bit. Originally, our estimates were at about $386,000 for each project. That's what we put the bid or the application for grant funds in for. That's the 90-10, 75-25 split on those two projects. That's why you see those numbers reflected in yellow at the top. We are locked into those numbers. We cannot amend those numbers. So who has to make the shortfall up? If there is one, the town does. So we've spun our numbers up to make sure we do cover material, labor, and inflation, that we're recognizing those and trying to budget for those. So we've used anywhere from 30% material increases. We've been trying to project those. 9% inflation, you saw that this past year. But those are cyclical, you don't really know. But we need to think about it and at least forecast for it. Because I'd hate to get that grant money and not be able to have a match to deliver the project. A, it wouldn't look good from the funding agencies. You guys can't match that, why am I giving you money? Mm-hmm. You won't look at your next application.
That's right.
It also looks bad for the town council. Oh, we're okay, we're doing fine. Well, we're not doing fine. And the public as well. It makes us look like we don't know what we're doing. So, again, Amy's had enough foresight to crank the numbers up. And we do have the ability year to year to go and revisit these CIP numbers, these capital improvement program project numbers. So if we find they're increasing again next year, we will crank the number back up a little higher. That doesn't necessarily help us when we're looking at stormwater fee, but you guys should be aware of those numbers as well. We need to be talking about those things.
Because you could have a serious political blowback if we've shortfalled ourselves 2 or 3 years in a row, and then the council's faced with having to sell the public an outrageous increase, whereas if we're planning that ahead, it will soften. It'll be a cushion that we could soften the blow.
Correct.
If we need to.
Correct. The other negative is having to increase the stormwater fee multiple times.
Yes.
We don't want to be going back.
No, we don't.
To the public. We made a mistake. We need more money.
Yeah.
We need to make sure we're projecting as accurately as we can future and asking for as few increases as possible here.
Right.
So it really saves a lot of staff time and headache in putting these public hearings on and presentations to the council. Commissioner Crocker.
My question was, when was the last time we actually raised the fee? And I think that will go into our discussion later, but since it came up now.
Sure. We've only modified the rate twice. Once was the initial inception of it, which Commissioner Parker could probably attest to, was very small, $1.75.
$2.90.
Mm-hmm. And then I believe in 2016 was the last time we modified it, and that went to $4.50.
6 years, 7 years, 8 years off.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. But I just want to add to that conversation, though, on the match. That's where our flood control district partners should be able to. They've helped us in the past when we did Lomas de Aero and that. They have come through and provided that 10% or 25% match, because the match is getting to a sizable amount. And the last time we talked about, when it comes to CIPs, what limit are we going to put to say that the fee is covering, because we're all paying that flood control district too. Now, they provide a lot of support. We all know that. But they are in there. They're supposed to be providing large projects for the county. So.
Correct. And what you don't necessarily see in here for the Highlands Mobile Home Park project, that $4 million request, the match is pretty significant, even at a 90-10 split. We're talking roughly $400,000 the town would have to come up with. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we have worked with our partners and gotten an agreement from Pima County Flood Control to cover that match. So in essence, the town's walking away from that project. If we get all the grant funding, we'll be walking away with very little out of our pocket other than staff time managing that thing. So again, yet again, another outside funding source coming to the town to try to deliver CIP projects.
And
so, very astute point, Commissioner Parker. I appreciate you bringing that up.
And are you showing that, John? Are you showing us the other, like the 400,000? Is that what that is? No, I guess not. Are we showing the match?
We are not. I believe we are. No, you will see that up top. I apologize.
Okay.
Andy was smart enough to catch it. $400,000 coming in.
Well, there is a 400K project down there. Oh, that's the match.
It is.
That's the match.
Offsets,
you got it.
It offsets.
There's the offset. So it is there.
Up here. So I think there's a $200,000 difference if you add those two up to what's down
right
here. But the intent should be the county provides the match. The FEMA group provides the rest of the funding there for us. So that is the intent of that particular project. I'm going to move on to the second scenario.
Can I ask one more question?
Commissioner Parker.
I just wanted to ask, on all the scenarios, since they're all fairly similar, where is the streets reimbursements identified? Are they in the personnel costs? Or
is that in relation to street sweeping?
Street sweeping, and are they doing any, you know, prep before monsoon season where they're doing grading and everything out there? And
so that work, Commissioner Parker, you'll see that in the general infrastructure maintenance line items. I believe a few of these have $50,000 sitting in them. So some of that is going toward some wash cleanups, some grading activities. Let's see if I can pull down. Amy, are you there?
Yeah, I also wanted to ask commissioners that, Commissioner Parker, the labor costs for the street operators are within the personnel budget.
Perfect. Thank you. Ms. Ramsey?
And I think you can see that personnel expenses right off the top here. We don't have that broken down
for
you here.
That's what it looked like. Yeah.
It does. Well, no.
Hi, Amy.
Sorry, I muted myself and actually hung up.
That will not go in the meeting minutes.
They wouldn't know.
Again, I'm going to move on to the third scenario here, which, again, it isn't a lot different than the one we just saw, but we're going to walk through it again together. We're looking at a potential $1.50 increase to bring us to $6 a month. I'm going to let you guys know we did last year look at all the other stormwater utilities in the state. I want to say the most expensive area, I think it was Mesa, almost $9 a month they're charging for stormwater fees. It is interesting what they pay for, what they're covering. We've talked about a lot of different ways to fund stormwater activities. They're trying to recoup 100% of their costs through that stormwater fee, so they're charging an awful lot. So even at $6 a month, we're still nowhere near the most expensive entity. But what will this do for us? What would it look like potentially? So I zeroed in, again, going right back to maintenance. We could certainly use more money. So I cranked up in this scenario additional money to do more culvert cleanings, as well as cranking up the general infrastructure maintenance. So that would be things that our operations group would typically do. It would just be asking them to do more. Now, that does get a little tricky because you've got to have the labor to go and do those types of activities. So there would be some assumptions with that particular line item. Maybe we'd have to hire more operators. Maybe we'd have to bring in more equipment. That isn't necessarily reflected in our budget. But those two line items in particular, I know we could be doing more. So if I had my druthers and we were allowed to increase the stormwater fee, these would be areas I'd be looking at trying to place more money into. Just some general cleanups. And we're seeing aged infrastructure. It doesn't mean it's failing. It means it needs more maintenance help. Cleaning them out, repairing head walls, doing some outlet and inlet work. Does not fully replace that asset or that infrastructure, but helps, I guess, propagate its life cycle. So that's what those two particular line items are representing. Commissioner Hawkinson.
I may be wrong, but some of these things in here, in the red highlighted areas like drainage reviews, outside reviews, drainage criteria manual, and some of those items, as well as some of the cleanup type things, were done to some degree, or large, what was done was probably done out of the general fund by Public Works before stormwater got started. And then to make things better and all, stormwater got involved in some of these activities as part of the program. Is that initial plan that the town put together for the number that Dave mentioned, $2.90, was strictly aimed at doing the required requirements of the MS4 program that EPA laid on everybody. And when he got started with that, we found that we could make some progress on that, but it allowed a few funds to get into other things that weren't considered. And I guess the question I have, does the town still maintain some involvement through Public Works and other funding sources for some of these activities? Or has stormwater largely picked up all the costs? Is a part of their function.
Interesting inquiries, Commissioner Hawkinson. As we've relayed through the last year, in addition to the stormwater quality issues by the EPA, we're also mandated to do floodplain management by the NFIP, the National Floodplain Insurance Program, and through ADWR. So some of these particular activities, particularly the drainage criteria manual and outside reviews, those go towards supporting those floodplain management activities. They have some, I guess, side benefits to helping water quality, but it's really to protect the floodplain. So I don't want to say that's a new endeavor for the stormwater utility. We've been doing it for a while. It's certainly more development permitted related. I don't believe the stormwater utility receives, or Public Works receives, any revenue back out of our community and economic development group. They are the ones collecting the permit fees for that type of work to get completed. But those are going, again, towards satisfying our floodplain management opportunities. And I don't know that those were envisioned when the stormwater utility was created. Our partners at Pima County, we are in Pima County, we're paying toward that property tax for those endeavors, but because of our steep terrain, our topography, our sediment transport here, we felt it was necessary to develop a drainage criteria manual back in the early 2000s. So I don't recollect who paid for that per se. I just know the stormwater utility is managing that particular activity. That document is ours. You know, we retain the technical expertise to enforce that and to kind of operate that particular requirement. But I can't tell you when that change was made, Rich, but it's been on the books here for some time.
And John, I can give Rich a little of the history. In 2016, when the last increase came along, some of those requirements were incorporated into that. Fritz Laus, he came over, and a lot of the drainage work for town projects and that came over with it to the utility. So some of that happened about 5 years ago, from the original 2008 to the 2016, when the additional increase happened. There were some additional requirements that came over to the utility.
I think the stormwater group is the way to go about this stuff. But as fees go up, I think you're going to get more questions as to why is this necessary and what gets done with the group in place better than it would be done if the funding wasn't increased or you went back to the old way of doing it.
That certainly isn't an option. It hasn't really been discussed yet, but we've got a new commissioner, we've got a new perspective on things. There's other ways to fund that particular activity or set of activities. There's also some projects in here too, some motorist feasibility study, Catalina alternative. We do load up some money for project-related endeavors. But even from that perspective, should the stormwater utility, apologies, be delivering projects? Should we be pushing those off to general fund and to the public works department? Traditionally, bigger projects haven't been delivered by the stormwater utility. We stay into a smaller area, more of maintenance and repair. But as funding shortfalls start to show themselves, people kind of look at the stormwater utility as another revenue source. But to your point, Commissioner Hawkinson, we've got obligations we need to meet. That is our primary goal here, is to satisfy that MS4 permit and the NFIP program. That's our two mantras for right now.
What?
That's why I was posing these questions in the first place, is what were we obligated to do versus what we would like to do. And the difference I see is from scenario 2 and 3 is a difference of $13 more a year or $18 more a year, spread over 5 years. Because what we'll be doing is future value of money today is better than it's going to be in the future. It's going to be less due to inflation. So we would be preparing and having a good cushion. The question is, because we don't want to come back 2 years from now, the council doesn't want to come back 2 years and say, oh yes, we increased you by $13, but we really have to go up to $18, and all $5 more, all hell is going to break loose. Pardon me, but that's what's going to happen for the council, and it's going to blow back on everybody. But we still are going to be obligated to do these things. And that's why I'm saying we have to really look at this issue. I mean, I don't think we can resolve it tonight.
No, and we're going to get to the timeline that will start walking us through the whole impetus behind last year, educating you guys on what it is we are responsible to do and then what we'd like to do. Those are two distinctly different topics here. But it's important that the commissioners understand that what we are required to do and then what we would like to do. Because, again, I can go and ask for a $10 a month increase if we wanted to. How do we justify that? And I think that's the point you're getting to, right, Commissioner Mattson. The other thing that Amy and I have looked at quite a bit, we also don't want to just be collecting funds and throwing them into the bank account and sitting on a huge pile of reserve cash. It seems right for other departments to look at that fee or that revenue source and say, oh, hey,
you can raise
look, you got $5 million sitting in your bank account.
Correct.
We want it. Well, you know, there's requirements for that particular money. It should be earmarked for stormwater benefits.
Sure.
As we talked about last year, roadways can have a stormwater benefit. Parks can have a stormwater benefit. Development projects can have a stormwater benefit, but the primary goal here is to make sure our water is clean, or as clean as it can be, and that we're not flooding people out. Those really are the two things we're looking at doing here.
So, John, on that point, of the desired projects versus the things that we are kind of on the hook for, has the utility gone through and kind of rank ordered these in terms of what kind of a one to end list? Which ones are most desirable or most needed versus which ones are just nice to do's on those?
Yes and or no, Commissioner Thomas, and that's a wishy-washy answer. I hate giving those answers.
I'm used to those at work, so it's okay.
They are a function of importance. You know, that certainly plays into this. Timing, available rights of way. There's a lot of decisions that get made as to how these get prioritized. What I will let you know, these are based on fiscal years slotted out here. So intuitively, the ones that are loaded up closer to current time have more of a priority for us.
Okay.
And it does make the Highlands Mobile Home Park and even Mother's Wash project out here. Those are big ticket items. That has got to go into a priority list. Yeah. The town cannot afford to do Highlands Mobile Home Park on our own. So even if we had that as priority number one, because of all the extra constraints that are placed upon us, I can't move that up to the front. We don't have the resources to go and deliver that thing. So the prioritization doesn't really reflect in the scheduling, but typically the scheduling drives our priority, or vice versa. The priority is going to move those projects up to get a little bit sooner rather than later. But I will let you guys know, Mutter's Wash has had flooding on it. We had to pay out claims.
Yeah.
So that, to me, should have a pretty high priority. But is it number one? Not right now.
Yeah.
We are going through the analyzation period. We had FEMA study the floodplains to say, yep, it flooded out. We already knew that. They validated that for us. They're turning them into FEMA floodplains, which carries a requirement to have flood insurance if you're going through a federal-backed mortgage. So we're not building the project per se right now, but we are taking steps to make sure the homeowners know you're in a floodplain. You're in a repeated flooded area. We're going to turn these into a FEMA floodplain and again have those extra requirements on insurance so that you're protected as much as practical here. We're actually finalizing up that analysis, and it should be done in the next month or two. That will set the stage to develop a set of plans to go fix something out there and take it to the public and the council and see where we want to go. But again, that schedule doesn't necessarily carry the priority, but we have looked at these things. They're on this list because we consider them a priority.
So I guess, real quick, Ms. Parker, I get it. I'm assuming the $4.4 million I see combined here against Highland Wash is a total value that is needed. What I might think we might consider doing is figuring out what is our portion, what's our 10%, if I understood that was a 90-10. What's our 10% valuation, and put that in a current year plan such that we say let's allocate that fund. So to your point earlier, we need to make sure we have those funds. We don't want to look bad when that comes and say that is now a top priority for us to get our funds in line. So when we get the federal funds, we're ready, and then we roll down and say what's priority 2, 3, 4, and so on, so that when we get up and there's community input and community questions, we can say, here's a one-end list of what we're doing and why we're doing it on that, and you can explain it, this is why we're gathering these funds.
Yeah, and we can certainly put that prioritization list together. It is part, it's a function of the CIP. There's some priorities in there. We actually do go through and rank. We're obviously not the only division or department asking for project funds.
Yeah.
But again, I will tell all of you guys here, the two Sierra Wash projects in the future and that Highlands Mobile Home Park, again, they've already been earmarked and ranked by FEMA, and the ADEQ is helping us out as well with that.
Sure.
So there's already recognition beyond just Oro Valley that there's a need here.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out and start asking for money when there might be a potential to get this money, if that makes sense to you guys.
Yeah.
We've asked Pima County to help us out. We've asked the feds to help us out. So I feel pretty secure that those will get delivered. But we can still show you how they rank in our priority here from the stormwater utility.
Sure, understood. I'm thinking a little bit externally to this is when this rolls forward and it gets to community comment, and yourself or Councilmember Green or others are out there trying to explain this, having to be able to explain that to the community and why are we doing this and what's it going to accomplish for us on that piece.
And that's the justification we really need if we're going to seek an increase here.
That's right.
Why do you need more money? What's it going to be used for? And why is it going to be used for that?
Yeah.
So those are the types of justification we have to put in to even load them onto a future CIP.
Yep.
And Councilmember Green can talk to you guys about that. But they get to see all those justification sheets. Ultimately, the council does get to approve the budget. So in theory, they're approving your prioritization or creating a new prioritization, because they're thinking about a lot more than just what the stormwater utility has.
Understood. I'll defer to Mr. Parker. I've got one follow-up, but I'll let Dave speak.
The only thing I wanted to bring up is looking at the schedule on that, I think, you know, getting into the nuts and bolts of the individual, I mean, I'm not too concerned with that. That's more of what you all do day to day. But I'm looking at the categories, kind of like you brought up, you know, the designs for the roads projects. I know that you all are doing a lot of that, which is incorporated into this budget. The streets, doing the grading work and all that. Amy said that's incorporated in this budget. Used to be flood control district would approve projects better if we had them up to like the 35% design. If that's in here, I didn't see it, but you know, again, I'm not getting the nuts and bolts. So I think for us, it's more of what categories of work are we supporting that the enterprise take care of? Because any money going into the enterprise, the others, you know how the game works, but they're not supposed to touch it. So the I think that's more of where we're at, and we've got
one more interest in the enterprise.
I mean, do we care about Highlands? Of course, I care much about Highlands, as Jim knows. But it's you know, that's more of letting the town, you guys, the operations people, do it. It's more of us. Where are we going to make a recommendation
for the fees?
For the fees of what the what scope?
And so that the public knows.
So the
where
public
it's
knows
actually,
this scope this is here.
And physical projects.
And as Rich brought up, this scope is Public Works and HERF. They're taking care of that, or wherever the money's coming from. And I think the breakout. And we did that in 09. We did that in 16, or 08, 16. I think it needs to be done again before we make a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I have to leave because I have to be back here at 6. So I want to get something to eat.
See you at 6.
Thank you.
No worries.
You can come over to my house and have for dinner.
I got peanut butter in my car.
That's a commissioner, a councilman. That's what happens.
So I was going to bring up to Chairman Crocker, maybe the two of you get together and figure out how we, within the weeks that we have ahead of us, between now and when we have to make a recommendation to the council.
That's in weeks.
We've got months, I should say. Okay. Months.
It'll seem like weeks.
Yeah. It'll go fast.
It'll go by fast.
It'll go fast.
Again, we did try to provide some nice breakdowns as to what these funds are being used for, but again, answering your requests for information here, in the health clinic, what is that for? the general public needs to know what we're paying for. So we need to be able to explain it to you guys that might be able to carry that message out for us. Commissioner Hawkinson.
One last thought, and been through this before, I think Dave's heard it. I think when you make the presentation, you need to have examples of the good things, the success stories that the products from the utility have brought to the town. You know, people know what the money's being spent for. And the benefits that are derived, not only, you know, with things in the field, but how has improvements in the drainage criteria manual, floodplain management plan, translated to benefits
to the community,
that type of thing. The work that's done, levy certification back some years ago. If some elevations hadn't been added on the CDO wash over by Oro Valley Country Club, I don't think that levy would have been fully certified. So you need to have handouts that will convince people that products are good.
Yeah, to that point, we have to be marketing and salespeople.
You do.
We have to sell what we do. Now, the strange thing is, with the stormwater, it's hard to sell floodplain management other than, well, look, we don't have anybody flooded out. We don't have any claims against us.
And you don't need any more money, right?
Do you need more money? We're doing just fine. It doesn't rain in Tucson. All those typical things you hear, but it is our responsibility to Commissioner Hawkins's point. We have to demonstrate that. We have to show not only is there a need, but that we're good stewards of the money. We're putting it toward the right things. We're meeting our permitting obligations. How do you demonstrate that we're effectively cleaning the water or providing good clean water? It can be tricky. We don't have lakes over here. We don't have critical habitat.
Yeah. It's not something you can point at and see. It's right there. Yeah. You know, you can't point at and people can't go touch and feel it.
Correct. So it's not a road. Yeah. They don't drive up and down this thing all day long. Yeah. They do look out over the floodplains and the washes. They don't quite understand how we got there or what the function is of that. Because it does have multiple benefits beyond stormwater. I mean, it's aesthetically pleasing. It's good for the environment. All those other esoteric benefits. It's still part of what we do here and the results that we provide by keeping the washes clean, by keeping the banks stabilized from eroding away. So, great point, Commissioner Hawkinson. We do need to polish up that presentation when we get there and show why we feel we're worthy of gaining a stormwater increase.
Yeah. So, John, if I could, just two things. One, I want to thank you and Amy both for the work. I think this was much clearer this time and much more beneficial on that. I want to go back to your comment. You said you looked at Mesa, if I'm not mistaken, for their rate. How is that a relevant size? I'm thinking Mesa's much larger than this town, but have you looked at others that are more comparable to our utility and our town in terms of that to see where we were?
Yes, and we presented that at some point last year, but I can dig up that analysis again. I know we looked at Flagstaff, several communities around the Phoenix Valley, the universities, the Air Force bases. I mean, there's all manner of strange stormwater utilities, but yeah, we can dig that presentation back.
I vaguely remember some of it from last year, but I just don't know if you'd done it again for this year's. And I have slept once or twice, so I don't remember last year.
Off the top of my head, Commissioner Thomas, I don't know that anybody's going for a stormwater fee increase currently, but those are hard to kind of keep.
Yeah, it's just relevant, you know, to know. I mean, are we still within the boundary of our and comparable to others of our size?
Correct. I do believe that's part of the puzzle here. We need to be showing those examples of like groups and what they're doing with it. I certainly don't want to be on the cutting edge of anything. I'd like to follow along with others that have set a good example.
You want to be in that happy medium.
Yeah, agreed. That's usually the best starting point.
Okay.
So the last piece of this is walking through the timeline. How do we actually get to a stormwater increase? And let's bring this up. For Commissioner Parker and Commissioner Hawkinson, you guys have seen this. It's nothing new to you, and probably Councilmember Green, you're used to seeing the water utility present these types of increases or potential increases here. So it's a very lengthy process. And I'm going to say we started this last year by trying to help educate you guys on why we're doing what we're doing. But this starts off, our timeline starts last November, where we took a look at the financial reviews, we ran through some scenarios. We're trying to establish a vision for where we want to go. So that rolls us into today here, January 19th. We are again looking at financial scenarios. Fabulous. Nothing really slated up in February, but the next big key, and again, these are draft, but we wanted to try to demonstrate what it would look like for you guys. We need to get in front of the town council and give them an idea on where we're at and where we want to go. So direction on funding of large item CIP, that's our CIP request to them, but showing what our future looks like and making sure the council is aware of what we're looking at doing. So that would be the next kind of milestone, if you will. And then we start to really crank into these scenarios. Again, answering a lot of the questions you guys have already asked today, making sure we're addressing those, our numbers are accurate, we feel confident that we're able to meet all of our future needs. As Commissioner Massey said, look at inflation, look at material costs, and see where we're going to be. That kind of rolls us through the rest of this fiscal year, which ends at the end of June. Just analyzing our scenarios here, making sure we're okay with that. We get into the next fiscal year in July, and again, we're still looking at financial scenarios. Town Council break, September. Potential approval of financial scenarios and distribution of a draft stormwater management rate analysis. So essentially, we would have from now until September to finalize up what our scenario would look like and what that associated increase would be. So that gets on the docket for the council just to say, hey, we as a commission have agreed we need money and this is what we think it should be. That's what that would represent there in September. And we kind of roll around till January this time next year. We need to do a submittal to the clerk's office and get an agenda up to the town council to ask for a fee increase. So there's multiple steps going to the council. This is not a spring it on and we're going to increase it, let us go. So we got to get to the clerk's office, get an agenda item together, and get a resolution for an intent to adjust the rate.
Okay.
The next meeting, the following month, we would publish that intent to adjust that. Get that as a resolution to say yes, town council says yes, go ahead. They can say no and we would stop. But we do have to ask for their permission to even seek an adjustment to that rate. And then we get into the public hearings, which are held at the town council meetings. So we're getting close to the end of that fiscal year with a final potential advertise a public hearing. And hopefully we would have the approval of that. So it's a pretty lengthy time period, but that gives you guys the opportunity to thoroughly go through these scenarios and get some consensus on it. We have a need, we think this is the number, it covers all our future needs. Let's go ahead and ask the town council to allow us to adjust the rate, and then we come back with public hearings. So, this is a difficult council to work with. They will analyze our budgets to the nth degree, which I appreciate. I want somebody watching this stuff, not just blindly trusting we're doing the right thing. But this will be a lengthy exercise to get through the council.
It's going
to
be ugly.
Potentially. But if we do our homework and we bring the justification that you guys have been asking for, I feel like we can make our case that we need this and we're worthy of receiving this. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. Roughly, I guess, 7 to 8 months to zero in on a rate and then bring that to council to say, can we look at adjusting this rate? And then we go to public hearing.
Here's what would make it easier for me. The next step would be, I see the numbers. If you could come back, Mrs. Ramsey, you still listening? Maybe not. If you guys could come back and say, scenario one fully funds all of our ADEQ, all of our ADEQ and ADWR quality requirements.
All of our must-dos.
All of our must-do ADEQ, ADWR, you know, quality requirements that the town has in their, you know, MS4 or whatever. This fully funds us taking care of our construction general permit requirements. You know, this fully funds us providing support to, you know, the public works design people when they're doing reviews of SWIPs that are coming in, etc. You know, we're taking care of all of our quantity requirements also. Between the three scenarios, we obviously aren't taking care of all of the covert cleaning on a five-year basis. So if we can say that it's scenario three, or if you say if you go up to $8 a quarter, that would cover, you know, cleaning every culvert on a five-year annual basis. Or it would be nice to have that to where then we can decipher between, you know, this covers the CIP projects solely through grants. Scenario one, two, and three only cover, you know, the minor maintenance and repair under the council's CIP limit, which is it 100,000 now?
I don't recall.
Whatever it is, yeah. we're not tackling anything over that $100,000 limit in this budget. I mean, that would be nice to have, because then we could look at it, and then we could, as a commission, make a recommendation to say, no, we think we should be funding some of these projects above 100,000, or we say no, we should only fund to that. Anything above that should go to other funding sources or the flood control district. And then if the flood control district says we want 35% designs, the money to do that should be in here too. So I think that would be helpful for me. I'm not sure about everybody else, and I think that'd be a good next step for us, you know, maybe put that on the agenda for next time, and then we could discuss that. I'm sorry.
No, Commissioner Parker, thank you. You hit something I've just been noting down. I think as a commission, we have decided the philosophy we want to go for one shot.
Yeah.
So now we're looking at how to do that shot. And the thing I've sort of mentioned is it's so hard to say what needs it, and when is it going to fail, and what's the problem if it fails. Do we have an inventory of culverts and washes, and do we have a condition? I managed this in El Paso County. We didn't even have inventory of over 1,000 culverts. This was in Colorado. So do we have an inventory, and do we have a condition analysis at this point? And can we talk about, hey, we're just what you said, till it fails, everything's great.
Correct. And we actually do have quite a few of our assets documented. We've got the conditions. We've got a rating associated.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say. Yeah.
That's certainly something we can bring back to the commission here to help you better understand, well, why are you putting that money into culvert cleaning?
Exactly.
Is there a problem? They haven't told us before. Yeah. Commissioner Hawkinson.
I agree with Commissioner Parker about the breaking down by like ADEQ requirements and stuff. If we were going to do that, I would suggest you put together a work plan for each of those items to show the manpower requirements necessary for ADEQ part of it. Because that's the way the original $2.90 was developed, was strictly for the water quality part of things, and we put manpower needs for the best management plan, and that's the way we came up with what we need.
Understood, Commissioner Hawkinson, that shouldn't be a problem for us to kind of break those things down for you guys. Again, what I'm hearing is we need to demonstrate what is required of us and then go to that next level of, well, here's some projects we think we want to do and how those are kind of broken down and categorized. So,
yeah,
I think that's doable.
And I'm not even as concerned with what's required as you're saying it's covered. It's in the
yeah,
budget.
I guess kind of leveraging off what Mr. Parker was saying. It was almost in my mind to say, look, here's our total revenues for each of the options. And of all the things we have to do, those are all done, and we have this amount of money left on each of the three options. And then as a council, as a commission, we can look at it and say, all right, here's a recommended course of funding streams to meet each of those needs. And then put that forward and say, so maybe we start putting, there's a $400,000 bill in year three towards the Highlands piece. Maybe we start funding $50,000 each year. So when we get there, we're ready. And it's not just one big full smoke of, oh, darn, we don't have that now to that piece. So that's kind of where my head was.
Yeah. And again, as the timeline kind of suggests, we've got time to do this, guys. We do not have to make a decision today on this stuff. But I do appreciate the feedback, because that helps us tweak some of these scenarios or get you guys the information you need to make a decision here. Because again, I don't see us doing this. If we're lucky enough to get this next fiscal year or the fiscal year after that, we realistically won't be coming back for another increase, probably while I'm sitting in this position here. So it's important that we try to get this right now so that we're not constantly going back asking for more money. You know, unless conditions change, there are emergencies, there's failures that do happen. But again, I want to make sure we get this thing as right as we can here.
Yeah.
So
I sit across with Dr. Green at these, and I share a wall with another council member. I don't want that either.
One of the things, John.
Thank you.
Yes.
One of the things I was going to say is, so it sounds like I've got the matrix in my head that I'm looking at. But yes, we need to talk about our base services and are we complying and doing what is necessary. And then we'll do our operations, and then we'll do the programming and the activities. Could we do this? Because you guys all have to understand what we're paying for and that our budget is solid in meeting the minimum requirements. Or you can take it to council say, this is the reason we're here today, because we don't have, you guys on board, why would we go to council and ask for their authorization to proceed?
Right.
We all have to be fully understanding what it is we're asking and why. So as long as it takes, we'll keep plugging at it. But I get a vision of what you guys are looking for, and I think it's a good idea to talk about those. You know, our best service, our bottom line core services, we have to pay for the health clinic, because that's a percentage of what the town does, and we'll explain to you why it's done that way. And then we'll move on and add those other two scenarios.
And Amy, to add on to that, it's almost a higher level breakdown of the budget. We're not looking for nickels and dimes. We're trying to put these in big pods of money. And I think that will help you guys better understand at that high level to see where we're really at.
And then just to add on, I was looking, you know, because then I start looking at, okay, gas jumped up, which it should jump up. Is it going to stay? And it's kind of, well, that's not my issue. That's yours. You guys got to do that. I mean, all we're concerned with, do you have it covered?
Amy muted herself again.
Understood, Commissioners. I really do appreciate that feedback. That helps us zero in on what you guys are looking for. for. So certainly sounds like a future agenda item here that we will be bringing back to you guys. Any other questions on these particular scenarios or the timeline? Excellent.
Thank you, John.
It was a good discussion.
Thank you.
Thanks to you and Amy for putting them together.
Thank you, guys.
So are there any other future agenda items people are interested in? It sounds like this is going to be our focus. Okay. Then let's move on to adjournment. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I'll second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.